For our time then tonight, we shall return to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And if you would like a text or one verse, it would be verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6 would be regarded as our text. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. And we want to look at these verses in context, and we will be looking at the whole chapter, which is a relatively short chapter, only 13 verses. Now, the Apostle Paul was a spiritual parent to these Christians at Thessalonica, and he had been forced to abandon them. As we noticed last time we looked at it, chapter 2, verse 17 tells us, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." So here we have the Apostle Paul. He had to leave them. He had to abandon these young fledgling Christians because of persecution. He didn't want to leave them, but he had to, and he was forced to. But he wanted them to be established in their faith, and he was concerned that maybe they were not established in their faith. Verse 1, for instance, talks about this, of chapter 3. "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." And verse 8, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." And verse 13 mentions the same thing, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." And these three verses really talk to us about the apostle's desire that these young Christians might be established in their faith. And this is what this chapter is principally about. He wants to make sure that these Christians that he has left behind are indeed established, and that they are growing in the faith. Now, the title I want to give to the meditation tonight is "Good News from Thessalonica." Good News from Thessalonica. Because this is really what verse 6, our text, is talking about. "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." And there, we will look at it later on, but there, the Apostle Paul found out that the people, the believers in Thessalonica, wanted to see the Apostle Paul as much as the Apostle Paul wanted to see them. And as a result of hearing that from Timothy, he was overjoyed. He was delighted. But he wasn't going to rest on his laurels. And this chapter would tell us that there were three other ways that he was going to seek to encourage these believers to go on. They were established, but he wanted them to be further established. The pastor is always wanting his people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening here. He finds out that they want to see him just as much as he wants to see them. There's a good relationship between the founding pastor and these new believers. And he wants to capitalize on that, and he wants to encourage them to go on in the faith. And that is the way it is with our Christian faith. We are to go on. We are not to be stagnant. We are to go on. We are to make progress. We are not to regress at all. Well, this chapter here would tell us three ways Paul used to help get them further established. So what are these three ways? Well, the first way we have already hinted at. The first way is what he recalls here in verses 1 to 5. He sent them a helper. He sent them a helper. And who was that helper? Well, that helper was none other than Timotheus or Timothy. Now, that's obvious because he speaks about Timothy in this chapter. But what he wants to relate to the Christians here in Thessalonica is that he sent Timothy because he had a concern for them. And therefore, he wants them to know that he really had a real genuine concern for them. And this is probably the most important thing. He wants them to realize that when he sent Timothy to them, it affected the Apostle Paul and his ministry in Corinth. Because the Apostle Paul was needing all the help that he could get. And therefore, to release someone from Corinth to go to Thessalonica was an act of putting himself behind the Thessalonians. So he sent them a helper, verses 1 to 5. And verse 1 outlines us Paul's concern. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Paul was doing a pioneering mission in Corinth. It was virgin territory. We've gone through it as we looked at 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It was not an easy place. He was suffering persecution and he got a vision from the Lord. And the Lord was encouraging him. And the Lord told him to continue because he has much people in that city. But he would need all the help he could get. Paul was not someone who ministered single-handedly. He did not operate as a one-man band. He wanted people with him. But he was so concerned about the Thessalonians, so concerned that they'd be established, that he was prepared to let one of his prime helpers go to Thessalonica and find out how they were. Why did he do this? Because he was so concerned. When we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. The word left that has been translated here in verse 1 is much stronger in the Greek than it would be in what it's translated here in the English. It could easily be translated to leave loved ones at death. Paul was, in some sense, when he says left, he was bereaved. He was bereaved of his great helper and aid and fellow laborer, Timothy. That shows the level and the depth of his concern for the Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 17 talks about this too also. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. When it says they are being taken away from you, that could easily be translated orphaned. That's how Paul felt when he had to depart from Thessalonica in the middle of the night. He felt as if he was an orphan. He had left his father and mother. He had left that close relationship that he had with the congregation. And therefore, The Apostle Paul wants them to know that he had a real, genuine concern for them, and he was prepared to sacrifice his own interest in order to further their interest. And he was prepared to suffer hardships so that the Thessalonians may benefit. And here again, the Apostle Paul is illustrating what it is to be like to be a pastor. He was a missionary, he was a church planter, he was a theologian, but he was also a pastor, and he had a care and a concern for those ones who had come to faith through his ministry. And this would also remind them that he was no charlatan. He was no fly-by-night cowboy. He had their highest interests at heart. And therefore, he sends Timothy. He sends his great friend, his fellow laborer. What do we find in verse 2? And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Here we have Timothy's character outlined. The Apostle Paul didn't just send anyone. He took the cream of the crop, as it were. He sent Timothy, our brother. What does that teach us? Well, he was first and foremost a Christian. This was a job for a Christian. This was not a job for a businessman. This was a task that could only be undertaken by someone who knew the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who knew the reality of what it was to be a Christian. And it says, minister of God. That's not to sound like a minister of religion today. The word minister simply means servant, a doulos. And therefore, what he is talking here about Timothy is, he was about God's business. That's what he was concerned about. And he was concerned about the eternal well-being of the Thessalonians. That is what occupied his mind. He was a Christian. He was a servant of God. And he was going to advance the cause of God as best as he could. And therefore he was interested in the very souls and the hearts and the lives of the people in Thessalonica. But it goes on to say something else. A laborer, our fellow laborer, a worker. This is not a task for someone who just works from 9 to 5 and puts in their hours, and then once they're finished, that's it, all over. No, no, no. This guy was a laborer. This guy was a laborer just like Paul himself, who labored night and day, we're told. He labored night and day to provide for himself. He labored night and day to pray for the Thessalonians. And Timothy was of the same mind and manner. He was a worker. Now, Paul mentions Timothy in another letter, in the letter to the Philippians. And Paul talks about Timothy and says this about him, because he was going to send Timothy on another occasion to the Philippians. But he says in chapter 2, verse 19 of Philippians, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." That's the kind of character that Timothy was. And this would remind us again and reinforce to the Thessalonians that Paul and Timothy and the whole pastoral team had nothing but the highest interest of the Thessalonians in mind. That's how much they cared for them. And they were to know this. And this was going to encourage them to be established in their faith. And these first verses here, they also relate to us the church's conflict at this time. Verses 3 to 5, for instance, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions, What was the problem? What was something that was maybe shaking the Thessalonians? Well, they were being under afflictions. And more than likely, they were suffering persecutions. And they were suffering persecutions from their own countrymen. And the Apostle Paul was maybe concerned that because of these afflictions and because of these persecutions, well, maybe the Thessalonians were beginning to flinch and they were beginning to become unsteady in their Christian walk and in their discipleship. And he would remind them, as he does in these verses, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. He was reminding them of his former ministry. He was telling them that as he was preaching the gospel, he was reminding the new disciples that when they follow Christ, they've got to take up their cross, they've got to deny themselves, and they will face persecutions and afflictions. It comes with the territory, and it cannot be avoided. And it was happening to them. And the Apostle Paul was reminding them that he had told them in advance, in his presentation of the gospel, he did not make light of the discipleship. He did not skim over things that are unpopular. He would tell them the truth, that they would face difficulties. But all of this was reminding them that this was going to establish them in the faith, that they were going to be able to stand for themselves. You know, a parent, what happens to a parent? The child begins to stand before it walks. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul had in mind. They were now to stand, and then they were to go on and walk and be steady in their faith. They were to be established. And therefore, to show his care, to show his concern, and to show his love for them, he sends Timothy that they might be encouraged when they realize that this special envoy from the Apostle Paul came because Paul was showing his love towards the Thessalonians. Well, that's one way in which he encouraged them. But there is another way that he would seek to establish them further. And secondly, we would notice from verses 68 that he wrote them a letter. He wrote them a letter. Our text tells us this. What happened? Timothy went from Corinth and he went to Thessalonica. He found out how they were doing. He came back to Corinth, where Paul was, and he brought his report. And the report is that the people were longing to see Paul just as much as Paul was longing to see them. What did the Apostle Paul do then when he heard this verbal report from Timothy? He immediately writes this letter here that we are considering here in 2023. This is how the Apostle Paul responded. It encouraged him when he heard about how the Christians in Thessalonica were faring. There is a brother who leads in public prayer, and very often, or at least on occasions, he will quote this verse, and it's from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25, which reads, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. Timothy brought his report. It was a glowing report. It was a wonderful report. And it It touched the heart and revived the heart of the Apostle Paul. It was like receiving cold water to drink for a thirsty soul for this good news that came from a far country. Because what? He realized then that all his labors that he had expended in Thessalonica, all his prayers that he had offered up for the people there, had borne fruit. These people had been faithful, and in some sense they were established in their faith. And he writes this letter to encourage them that they might be further established in the faith. Now you might well wonder, what has this got to do with us? Here we are in Partick, 2023. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians over 2,000 years ago. Well, this is not just the Apostle Paul writing. This is the Word of God. This has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And what is true here is relevant for us today. And of course, Paul's letters are recorded for us in the Bible. And the whole of the Bible is the Word of God. And the whole of the Bible has been written for our instruction, for our learning, for our encouragement. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 15, verse 4? A verse that's very appropriate to quote here. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This is what the Scriptures are there for. The gospel has not changed. God has not changed. Human nature has not changed. Christ said that his people shall be hated. The people of the day hated Christ. Do you think that somehow they're going to love the followers of Christ? No, impossible. And therefore, the problems that the early Christians faced, they have been addressed in the various letters that have been written by the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and others, so that when we have difficulties, when we have trials, when we have problems, we will find that our brothers from centuries ago have gone through exactly the same problems and difficulties, and they have overcome because the Word of God will address every situation that we find ourselves in. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Yes, we know that we're in the 21st century. Yes, we know that life has somewhat changed from the first century, but many other things have not changed. We still face the same difficulties. And the Word of God is able to answer these things and to encourage us in our faith. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what Paul said to Timothy, and how true it is. And someone commenting on that verse has said, quote, "It has well been said that doctrine tells us what is right. Reproof tells us what is not right. Correction tells us how to get right, and instruction tells us how to stay right." We'll find it all in God's Word. It's all been inspired by God, and He has provided all that we need, not only to have faith in the Lord Jesus, but to live a life of faith, and ultimately to to take us to glory. You'll find it in the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul then, to further establish them, sends them this letter that we are studying at this time. And then finally, thirdly, he encourages them in another way. He reminds them or informs them that he prays for them. Verses 9 to 13 talk, we do believe, about the Apostle Paul praying, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you?" and so on. It is true to say that some commentators don't regard this or these verses as a prayer, but many others do. And I'm inclined to take that view, that this is indeed a prayer from the Apostle Paul for the brethren at Thessalonica. He prays that they might continue to grow. This is surely again revealing the pastor's heart. He's not just satisfied where they are. He's glad that he finds them in faith. He's glad that he finds them somewhat established. But he recognizes there's more. There's more to be achieved on this side of heaven than maybe we realize. And we are to stir ourselves up. And therefore the Apostle Paul was one who was going to pray for them. And this is something maybe we should take on board ourselves. He was not ashamed or afraid to say to the people in Thessalonica, "Brethren, pray for us." The Apostle Paul, the great apostle, the man who wrote by inspiration, he valued the prayers of the believers. And here he says that he's going to continue to pray for them because he has them in our heart. He prays that he would be able to visit them. We notice this, and towards the end of chapter 2, that he said that he tried to visit them on one or two occasions, but Satan hindered him. But nevertheless, he still wanted to see them in person, and he was going to pray to that end. And if we understand Acts chapter 20, the first 3 or 4 verses of that chapter, it would seem that his prayer was answered, because he talks about going to Thessalonica during his third missionary journey. And again, if we understand these things correctly, if we've got the time scale correct, it would seem that when he wrote this letter and when he said that he was going to pray that he might visit them again, it seems that his prayer was answered some 5 years afterwards. He did see them. He was able to renew contact with them, meet them face to face, greet them, and speak eyeball to eyeball to them again. His prayer was ultimately answered. Not immediately, but about 5 years after he began to pray. Surely this, therefore, is an encouragement for us. We are to continue to pray. We are to ask that the Lord would lay things in our heart that we might pray according to his will. And we are not to give up. Is it not true, friends, that we sometimes take upon ourselves that we'll pray for this, we'll pray for that individual, and we may do it for a week, 2 weeks, a month, or whatever, but slowly but surely, we begin to forget. Not so the Apostle Paul. He wanted them really established, to continue to grow in grace, and he was going to pray for them. Good news from Thessalonica then. And then it was going to be good news from Paul, because he was out for them to grow and to be further established. And he was going to do that by showing his concern for them. He was going to do that by writing a letter to them, And he was going to do that by continuing to remember them in prayer. Amen. And may the Lord be pleased to bless his word to us this evening.